Our Father. Yes, Father. Let's lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Our dear Father, thank you for bringing us here one more time. You said when Silo comes, that shall be the garden of the people. We gather to Jesus this morning, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, we're small, this corner of the world, but you are the King of the universe. And we celebrate you this morning. We are connected to you above all other gods. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody beside you, tell him, I'm here to serve the living God. I'm here to worship the Almighty. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. You can have your seat. Praise God. Good morning. The weather is a little bit cold and steady. I have a book in my hand. I want to start with this morning. This book is titled The Scars of Faith. When you have a wound, you get a scar. One of my pastor friends, who was a branch pastor to this pastor, some of us knew him quite well in Ibadan. He told me the story a couple of weeks ago, so he gave me the book. And how many of you know Pastor Alex Adeboye? Of course, Brother Peter will know him. He was the anchor for THP for several years in Ibadan. And he was shot by some armed robbers years ago and in Ibadan. And the pastor that was a branch pastor was telling me the story. And after he finished, he said he bought two books from him when he came back from UK. So he said, I bought two, I kept one, but I said, he's going to give me one. So while I was planning to speak this morning, it just dawned on me that this will be on the way to what the... It's called The Scars of Faith by Pastor Alex. I happen to know him over the years, but I've not seen him in recent time. And he had this shot in the leg, and he was not taken care of quite well. Hospital did, I think, UCHD, what they call. So he went abroad. His family at the time was abroad. They're still abroad. And when he got to UK, they checked up his leg, and they started getting the finest doctors. And when he got, I want to give you some of the things that happened to him. Overall, he spent about £160,000. You know. And when he got to this particular orthopedic surgeon, let me just read it to you. It was not well done in Ibadan. So on the 21st of April 2004, I was taken to the theater for the first operation. When he did that, they had to remove some dead bone tissue and check it up. And this is what they come up with. According to him, the infection he discovered there had no cure at all. He called it MRSA or Mrs. A. Doctors know what MRSA is. It's one of the greatest, worst staph infection that can ever happen to anybody. It was so deadly that it had killed many people and turned many more insane. Once it got inside the body, even after amputation, it had no remedy. He said it came from having been exposed to a dirty environment. So they began to analyze and check, and the man said to him that, you know, it's not a godly man. He said to him, be prayerful. Can you imagine? In the UK, they are told to be prayerful. That's serious. So he said they are going to, the first one told him, take about 2 to 3 years to handle the case. And another one told him again about 2 to 3 years. Nigerian doctors, you know, they were trying to kind of get him to see. Now, listen, I love this. Now, they said that they had to give him some antibiotics. But this MRSA will eat up the antibiotics. Just eat up the antibiotics. So this doctor in the UK said, listen to this. He said, I went in for a second operation. This operation was very crucial. It lasted for about 7 hours. By this time, I was on 4 different antibiotics for 14 days. When he opened up the leg, he discovered to his astonishment that the MRSA had eaten up the antibiotics and was still growing by the day. He waited till the following day when I came around and told me what he found. He told me, sorry, I cannot help you anymore. I've done all I know to do. So he said, I'm giving you 2 weeks to go and consider to cut off your legs. So he said, no, had 10 days to think about it, let me know what my decision was. In fact, it was so bad, my room was quarantined to prevent infection from spreading. The equipment that were being used to monitor vital signs, usually taken from one patient to another, now they left it set in my room, only to be used by me. The decision looked completely hopeless. I was paying £400 sterling each day, and I've been there for 9 days. And I was given 10 days to make up his mind what to do. Now, this way I'm going. Let's go to the page that I wanted to read to you. Great. So he got home, and they researched on MRSA and his wife, and they found out that there's nothing that could be done. After my wife's research on MRSA, the gravity of the situation dawned on me. I was devastated. I decided to pray. But it was a struggle. I could not even read the Bible. For the first 5 days, I'd like you to listen. For the first 5 days, I could not pray at all. All I could do was ask questions. God, why did you allow this? Many times when nobody was there, I would break down in tears and cry till I slept off. When my wife woke me up to eat, I refused to eat. I felt God had let me down. I told God, you know, I have served you doing all I know how to do. There's nothing I ever thought you wanted me to do that I will not do. True, I've made mistakes, but I don't think this punishment is commensurate. Like Job, I tried to justify myself. Now listen to this. Then one night, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. They could cut off your leg and nothing will come out of it. But then, they don't have to cut it. The move is yours. The branch pastor was telling me that actually, he didn't put it in the book, that he saw Jesus' face while he was there. And Jesus said, Alex, they'll cut your leg and they'll call you a pastor with one leg. And Jesus said, do you see my 2 legs? They are still here. It's your choice. That's in talking. This morning, we're going to talk about things like this, but really what I want to emphasize is the fact that this pastor finally came to a point where he saw what to do. And that's the problem with Nigerian Christianity that I've been talking about for years. And this one really address it. That if you are going to see God move in our lives, it's just more than what we've been doing. Praise God. So let's set the stage today for that. We are adults, so we know how to discuss this. They gave him all these antibiotics, so he had to get another set of antibiotics for himself. That's not antibiotics. And it's in the book. And you know what? After making up his mind, a couple of days later, it's in the book. I don't have time to show you. Within that 10 days, when he made up his mind and started doing what he should do, guess what? That doctor said to him, somebody upstairs must be listening to you. That staphylococcus was dead. Let's start the service. Praise God. That's the healing part this morning. My healing leader is not around, so I'm reading for her this morning. I just read the book, not 365 days. All right, great. Professor D, ready to start healing of prayer of agreement? Let's start prayer of agreement first. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just stand up on our feet? Give this one, thank you. I want you to just tell the Lord this morning, you are the God of heaven and earth. You are the God of heaven and earth. You see, we are in this small place. It looks big, but it's a small place. But God, you are bigger than this place. You are bigger than my life. You are bigger than this planet, than this solar system. You are the God who is faithful. As we lift up our hands to the God who is faithful, can we just appreciate him before we even go to prayer of agreement before him? Bible says, God, the rock, in whom there is no unrighteousness, faithful and true is he. Can we lift our hands, just tell him, Lord, great is the faithfulness. Great. I want you to lift up your hands and tell him, Mom. No sound. Let's just hear our voices. No instrument. Thank you.
All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
One more time. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is the faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
All that I ever needed.
All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great.
Somebody beside you, God is faithful, God is great, and God keeps his promises. Let's clap our hands for Jesus before we sit down. Prof, let's go ahead.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. The scriptural basis for our prayer of agreement. He says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Hallelujah. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Praise the Lord. You notice that I have read this three times. If I had my way, if not for time constraints, I'll keep reading it over and over and over. And just ask you, if you have anything for which you want us to agree, just step forward. God is faithful. Let's take his promises simply as it appears. God is faithful to do what he has said. And therefore, I'll ask us to take a step of faith. If you are here this morning and there's something you want us to agree with you about, please just take a step of faith. Because it says, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. While those that are coming for agreement will come, please let the rest of us bow our heads and just bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Let's just express our thanks to him in our spirit as we agree with whoever comes up for the power of agreement. Please, let's step forward if we want anyone to agree with us about anything. And please, partners, please, let's step forward with them. He said, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Our Father, we thank you as we step a step of faith because it will be done for us by our Father who is in heaven. We bless the validity of the scriptures. Thank you for the faithfulness of the word of God. Thank you for your commitment to the promises you have made. Thank you for honoring our step of faith. Thank you for doing this for us today, our Father in heaven. We give you all the praise. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, we bless you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you glory. Give you praise, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 We bless you, Jesus. Give you glory. Hallelujah. Let's bless the Lord. Let's give him glory. Let's give him glory. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your loving kindness, your mercy. We worship and adore you. We bless your name forever. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. We worship. Let's just worship. Let's thank him. He's bigger than every mountain, bigger than issues in our life. He's our God. He's our King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you, Jesus. 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 We bless you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's open our eyes. I said I want to talk about a few things this morning, but the testimony I was reading to you, I want to kind of show you the end, then we'll go in between. He said, the next time I went to the clinic and they opened the wound, the nurses had to call the doctor. He took a look and said, Alex, you know, they don't call you pastor over here. This is a miracle. What happened? He asked me to go and run some tests, another X-ray. Eventually, he told me to come back after a month. Throughout, I just kept affirming, praise the Lord, my God is a good God. I went back after a month. When he checked it again, he was taken aback. He said, I expected this thing to spread, but it's dead. What's happening here? He added, maybe, just maybe, we have a miracle here. You know, and then one time, one of the nurses, you know, this is where Nigeria is different. One time, one of the nurses was looking at the thing and he said, oh, it's doing good. Pastor Leo said, praise the Lord. She said, what's that? In Nigeria, when you say praise the Lord, even unbeliever will say hallelujah. You know, they are just so backward spiritually over there. Sometimes, you know, just praise the Lord. What are you talking about? So I want to just talk about something that happened to him, which, let's go to Matthew 6:33. And then we will help us. Matthew 6:33. You know, the older you get in things of God, the better it gets to understand certain and appreciate certain truth. Let's go to Matthew 6:33. I know many of us, we've read this verse over and over again, and our emphasis has been on one point, another point left out. It says, but seek first, I want you to look at the screen, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I want to confess to you, man, many of us over here, when we read this verse, usually this is what we hear. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. That word always left out. And then we tell them, become kingdom-minded, become kingdom-focused, become kingdom-oriented, and you have all this added to you. But particular word is there. It didn't say, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. No, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Now, let's look at something in the Bible about how do we approach God for things. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. There's this fantastic story in the book of Pastor Alex was talking about. He said, I'm a pastor. I've seen things happen in church. I've seen people, evangelists, ministers, prophets will come speak, but things don't change. You know? He was concerned. What have I done wrong? Where did I miss it? Ta, 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 ta. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Luke 1, 5. And this is talking about those who are older, this service of those who are older. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Can you give us on the screen quickly? Or do we have to wait and open our Bible? Okay, something must be happening to the screen. Let's open our Bible. Luke 1, you're still looking for it. Okay. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest. Please bring out your Bible. This thing ain't responding. It's usually unfaithful once in a while. It has finally responded. There was in the days, like a God. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. You can look on the screen again. Certain priest named Zechariah, the son of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Next verse. So they had a good pedigree. They were born righteous home, and they were both righteous before God. Do you see that? They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Was a priest serving. In fact, he was given a particular job in the temple one time. Next verse. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. Next verse. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, next verse, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. Now, to burn incense will only happen to you once in your lifetime as a priest. It's to be able to approach the most holy place at the door or at the veil of it. You do it once in your lifetime. So he was having a once in a lifetime experience. Let's keep reading. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Next verse. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. She shall call his name John. Let's keep reading. And you will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. For it'll be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong. Next verse. What happened? Okay. Next verse. Let's keep on jumping. We'll get over there. Okay, next verse. Next verse. I just want to. Okay, verse 18. And Zechariah, verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Next verse. And the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you this glad tidings. Next verse. But behold, you'll be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place because you do not believe. Please, can you look up a minute? This is where I'm going. This man was righteous, was blameless, was serving God with everything he's got, and he missed it in getting something from God. You see, usually, this is where our problem is. And because we don't understand the concept of New Testament, this is Luke trying to show us something has arrived in the neighborhood that's just more than what was there before. Now, Zechariah was faithful, blameless, righteous in every commandment. And then he got to this point and the angel said, you're not believing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he can't believe. I didn't say that. But he's resting on something. He's resting on what he has been doing. I am this. I am that. I'm a priest. I am righteous. I'm blameless. I'm walking with God. So even when God came and said, hey, you're going to have, it's confused. Why didn't I have it all this way? Why am I not old? Like Pastor Alex said, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Lord, I've served you. I've been trying to do my best. You're not treating me fairly. Hallelujah. And the book of Luke was trying to get something across to us that, let's go to chapter 10, book of Romans. Let's look at verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want us, as we get older, because this is an older person, that you start, you see, if you look at that same story, we will not go back there, but I just want to tell you. That same, Luke chapter 1, Bible says, the same time, 6 months after, the angel went to Mary. Am I right? Mary was this young girl who had no pedigree. She didn't have any connection with the temple. She didn't have any connection with the priesthood. So just a simple girl. All right? Am I right? Am I right? And when the angel said to her, you're going to have a child, son of the Most High, she said, let it be unto me according to your word. And she had no struggle. Now, see, it's the same chapter, Luke chapter 1. We just read at the beginning about the older person serving God, giving all his best, and was blocked, had to be shut up to get that blessing. Whereas this young lady who had no experience with God, who had no issue with God, and just like that. Now, this is the reason why in Romans 10. Let's look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Or you see, that word saved is the same word for sozo, which means experiencing all that God has to offer. Salvation is a free gift. And instant salvation, that is all the blessing of God. So Paul was saying, I am praying that Israel will experience divine intervention. Praise God. What is Ibala? Ibala is something like this. You are sinking, you are in trouble, you are going down, I rescue you. Am I right? So, and all of us, we need a rescue in our life. The greatest rescue that we get born again and on our way to heaven. But we still need some of these many, many rescue. Am I right? In this life. Like rescue from that kind of problem, MRSA. I call it Mrs. A. Hello? Yahoo A. Praise God. You know, all kind of things happen in our lives. We have to be rescued. But the major rescue is our salvation. How many of us are saved over here? Now, thank you very much. Now, let's go to the next verse. It says this. It says, for, I hope this thing will work around. Okay. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. There's something about us in Nigeria that we have had the move of God over the years. We've learned a lot of things. And we have been taught in such a way that we've not been given attention carefully to the New Testament. I dare say many of us read our Bible as just Bible. But we don't read with that sense of the presence of Jesus in our lives. He said, they have a zeal for God. They are God's people. But not according. Let's look at this verse in Passion Bible and a Message Bible. Take a look. Passion Bible. Can you give us Passion Bible possible? I hope it won't distract your machine. For I know that although they are deeply devoted to God, like Zechariah, but they are unenlightened. It's more of heat than light. It's more of energy than enlightenment. Next, look at it in Message Bible. What did he say? I readily admit that the Jews are impressively energetic regarding God. My, you can see us in programs. You can see us running. You can see us doing that. You can see us doing that. My problem is that people are living in droves, Christianity now, because really offer what they promise. They're living in droves. I'm simply telling them, I'm no longer believing. Great stars, rock Christian stars, and stuff like that. You say, I'm no longer, I say, what is it for D now? Something, D something. I remember when I go through. But they are doing it, they are doing everything exactly backwards. Let's go back to NKJV. What's our problem? Verse 3. Go back to NKJV. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Let me drop this bombshell first. You see, you ask 45 years and above old Christian Nigeria, when you say, what is righteousness? The next thing that, how you behave, how you live. You see them quoting this verse. Righteousness exalts a nation. And they mean that we should not be sinful. We should not be living the wrong way. That's how to live in Nigeria. Nigeria will turn out right. You see, that concept itself is uninformed. It's not enlightened. It's as if they don't do crime in Western civilization. No. Righteousness is not that, it's not holiness. You see, God is trying to get across to us that let me show you what I mean by righteousness. Righteousness has more to do with rights. Now wait, what right does Pastor Alice have to healing? What right does he have to God delivering him? What right? You see, what he was saying was this. I don't know, Lord. I'm doing my possible best. I'm serving you all these years. I'm trying to be blameless. I'm not. I have my mistakes. But see, that's where the problem is. What right do you have when you face things? What right do you have to expect God to move there? What right? That right cannot be from yourself. Let me explain myself. The word righteousness has been misunderstood. It doesn't mean holiness. Holiness is conduct, but righteousness is rights. The word rights. Let me show you what I mean by that. Luke 13. Look at verse 10. Luke 13. And you'll be challenged in life. Now, take a look at this. Luke 13, verse 10. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Jesus was teaching. Now, please look. Can you look next verse? And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. Let's keep reading. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. Now somebody said this, why should Jesus call her out of the service? Why should Jesus give her special treatment? Why should he single her out? We know the reason in the next few minutes. Look at next verse. And he laid his hands on her. Really, she was made straight and glorified God. Now, what happened next? You see now. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the crowd, that 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them, not on the Sabbath day. She can see a pushback. See, many of us know how to pray. We know how to call upon God. But after the prayer, there's a pushback. When we don't see God responding, there's a pushback. Like Pastor Alex, I say pushback. It's a child of God. They said they got this thing that can never be cured. But I'm a child of God now. Let's keep reading. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or donkey from the stall, leave it away from to water it? That's on the physical level. Now, let's go to human level now. Now, take a look. Next verse. So, please, everyone look up here. Can you look up here? I want to see one word over there that describes righteousness. So ought not this. See that word, ought. Not ought. What's the meaning of ought? You can tell me. Ought not. What's the meaning of ought? Oh, you can see. Is he not rightful for her? Am I correct? Am I right? So Jesus now is trying to justify our healing. Our deliverance. And what did she justify it on? Is she not being a daughter of Abraham? So, what Jesus did was not to talk about her behavior. She's been coming to the synagogue for 18 years like that. I can say she's faithfully serving there. But Jesus says she's a daughter of Abraham. Now, Isaiah 51. daughter of Abraham. Not because she's a pastor, she's a minister, she's a deaconess, she's serving in church. Thank God for service in church. We'll be rewarded for that. Thank God. You know what? I never bring my experience, my grace, my anointing to God. It doesn't count. It can count before you. It can count. For instance, none of us over here tell your lungs, I'm about to breathe because I'm an engineer. You breathe because you are only a human being. Am I correct? That's what qualifies you. What I say we should open to? Huh? 51. Take a look. Verse 1. 51 verse 1. Listen to me. Oh, one. Listen. Seek his kingdom first and his what? Now, let's follow now. Listen to me. You who follow after what? Thank you. You who seek the Lord. Seek first his kingdom, righteousness. Look to the rock from which you are hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you are dug. Next verse. Look to Abraham, your who? Your father. And to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Now, can I ask you a question? What about Abraham that made Abraham different? Among all the, what's Simon saying? What made Abraham different? Let's go to Romans 4 verse 1. What distinguished Abraham? Why was Abraham so much in biblical history, particularly New Testament? Why are we called Abraham's seed? Look at the scripture on the screen. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? Let me approach this well. Abraham was the first person to see divine intervention of God in his personal family life. Abraham was the first person in history that God singularly picked and worked with for 100 years. God met him at 75 and he worked with him for, it was 175. So for 100 years, God worked with him and God said to Abraham, through you. Let's go. Romans 12 verse 1. What has he found? Genesis 12 verse 1. Let's look at Abraham. Just be here with me. Jesus referred to that woman as daughter of Abraham about receiving a healing. Verse 1. Genesis 12 verse 1. The Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Are we here? Look at next verse. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. Look at next verse. And I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. Now this is the biggest thing that God ever said to any man. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be what? How many of you are, you come through a family? Thank you. You will never have any blessing in your family except through Abraham. Sounds weird. That's what God said. He said, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth. So if you are going to get any blessing, whether healing or progress or prosperity or help or deliverance or protection, whatever it is, you're going to have to come through Abraham. Wow. Why? What makes Abraham special? This is it. Genesis 12, you just read. What makes him special? Genesis 15, verse 1. This is what the Bible said, and the old testament was based upon. And some of you, I know you're not listening now until the next event happens in your life. And you start reverting back to that old style again, walk. See, I know it's my fault. Let's just do what we know how to do, sir. You can walk in that same old light and get to greater things. After these things, listen to this. The Lord of God came to Abraham in a vision saying, don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your seed. It's a really great reward. God said, I'm your reward. I'll protect you and I'll provide for you. Let's look at Abraham's response. And Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me? Say, I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. So God is promising him, he's looking at God, what will you give me? I'm barren, I don't have any child. Next verse. Then Abraham said, look, you're giving no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Next verse. Now, please follow now. We are going to see what makes the blessing of Abraham special. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Next verse. And this is the verse. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven. Count the stars, if you're able to number them. Said to him, so shall your seed be. Next verse. This is the verse I'm going. Everybody look at this verse. Everybody look at this verse. This is the verse that changes everything and will make your Christianity to really be sweeter as you get older. So he believed in the Lord and he accounted it. If you don't understand that word it, your Christian life will keep on living like the rest of the world looking for mercy. And he accounted it. That word accounted, same word for credit, accredited. And credit it to him for what? Can I ask you a question? What's the word it there? Yeah. What did he count to him? Huh? It's belief, sir. So, what happened is that righteousness, as far as Abraham is concerned, is not what you do, it's what you believe. The kind of Abrahamic righteousness is not how you behave. He said, God credited to him as righteousness his faith. Whoa. So, what rights do you have to the blessing of God? I've been coming to church, I've been praying, I've been singing. So, when something happens to us, the next thing we think, Kinimo see. That's fine, but that won't secure you access. So when something happens, it's not to derogate your Christian life or break. No. It's to come as just as you are. When you believe, that's what is counted as righteousness. Righteousness in the New Testament is not behavior. Pastor Alex had that thing and it was getting worse. And when they told him it was getting worse, he went to God and said, Kulu Apimosi, what did I do? I've been doing. No. God said, it's your move. What I'm going to count here is not your behavior, it's your believing. What I'm going to count in this situation. Pastor Alex was asking God one time. He said, Father God, I'm a pastor. I've seen people struggle. They are good Christians. They live well. And they are facing problems and we don't have any answers. He said, I'm their pastor. I stay with them. Other people will come and go. I will come and say, we'll change your life this year. Everything will happen this year before the end of this month. He said, but still nothing changing. You know, Pastor Alice, you know what God told him? God said, I didn't tell you you can help them. I asked them to look up to me. And that's why I ask you to preach to them. So they can see me, not you or your help or your anointing. Because each person is responsible to me as a seed of Abraham. I'm going to bless every family through the lineage of Abraham, which comes by believing. Now, don't get me wrong. Behavior is important. Like now, if you're an Abeokuta club, you have to behave well. But you don't become a member of Abeokuta club by behaving. They confide it on you first. Am I right? Am I right? When you join a club, they will call you for investiture. Prophet, am I correct? Investiture. And they put it on you. Not your behavior. When they certify you, they sign you, and then you become a member. You now behave according to. So, when you are now become righteous by faith, then that will change your lifestyle. Making some sense? Am I making sense? See, you have to get this. Because the only thing to face the devil and stop his work is the shield of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. That you have a right. We'll see that more next week. So, number one, Abraham believed. See, your believing is your right. It's not your, I've been doing this, I come to church. You see, I never go to God when something happens to me. Lord, I'm a pastor, I've been preaching, I've been doing this. God told Pastor Alex, All those things you have been preaching, you have to leave it to yourself now. The same thing applies to everybody. You have to do it to yourself. You know that you have any corner to be, you're not any anointed. Mm-mm. You are my child. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody here who has parents, if your child asks to go to another child to come and help you plead, something must be wrong. Am I correct? Let's go a step further. Are we ready? Now, so what are we talking about here? How do we do this well? Let's go back to Romans 10 and start putting this together. God accounted to him for righteousness. But see, Pastor, but what about if I misbehave? I know I'm coming. See, I know we Africans. Years ago, I had Archbishop say something I won't forget in my life. Archbishop Dawuja, the first Archbishop, particular Archbishop in Nigeria. The rest are now just number 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He said, he was giving a joke. He said, can you imagine a plane about to crash and there are people inside it? He said, a British man, if he's in the plane, he said he will ask himself, have I written my will? The plane is about to collapse or crash. I can't remember what to say about American. Something like, it's an American. You say, how much inheritance for my children? He said, a typical, say, what sin did I commit yesterday that warranted me to get crushed in this plane? Another one, he said, if you find a Christian and Babadeboy inside the plane, one guy told me something. He said, if they said the plane is about to crash, all he has to do is to look across. Babadeboy is there. He can go to sleep. Not understanding this has brought all the issue about God of Orimalade, God of Babalola. That's because you're going to have a right to approach God. And since you are not that so rightful, you better go through somebody's coattail. You understand what I'm saying? So now, how do you now do that yourself? Let's go to Romans 10 and round this up. Let's go to verse 3, right? Okay, let's go. Are we ready? Beautiful, 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 beautiful. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, his own righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness. Now look at it. I have not submitted. What? So there is the, when you are facing anything in life, issues, problem, what right do you have? There are two types of rights. Your own righteousness, like Zechariah, you've been serving God, you've been giving all your best to God, you're something. Or God's own righteousness. When anything happens to me, over the years I've learned that one. Don't ever look at your life. Look at Jesus. You know why? Next verse. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Law has to do with what we do, how we serve, what we give up to, what we don't give up to, what we start, what we don't eat, what we eat, what we don't do, what we don't. That's it. But he said, for Christ is the end of that kind of righteousness. For how many of you believe over here? Now, since you believe that your righteousness like that won't sell anymore, Christ has ended. When you said, Christ, you are my Lord and my Savior, that ended in your life. So, Kutamo, Pastor, how do you explain that? See, if you live in America, you travel to America, you come back, you are using passport, Nigeria for visa. The day you get green card, that passport green card is useless. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? Yes, you carry green passport, Nigerian passport, and you get visa, regularly get visa. But the day they give you green card, that, if you pull it out, it may still be, maybe, I don't know, but you are really backward. And you'll be the one to suffer. Not really America. America has done its possible best. You see, this is the problem. We always, Oluwa, what are you going to do? God said to Pastor Alex, it's not what I'm going to do, it's your move. I've done all I need to do. America won't come down to do something for you again when they give you green card. You claim your right. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know, this is far better than trying to get crashed when it's all available to you. When I heard this, it shocked me. One woman went to a pastor and said, "Pastor, please tell me, when is God going to heal me?" He looked at him. He said, "Mama, you are really too late and wrong. God's not going to heal you." And I said, "What did I do to God?" He said, "Mama, that has been settled with God a long time ago. It's your move to receive." You see, that's the thing. That's what I'm challenging in African Christianity setup. The New Testament is good news. It's good news. What is news? You will never hear news of what has not happened yet. Am I right? It has happened. So it is righteousness. Now, I make you laugh. You know, we do that normally as a human being. We will say, "When is God going to heal us?" But we go to Dr. Ariba to get well. Do you know why? Because we know that there is something there about cure in medical science. Am I right, sir? Am I right, sir? We know it's in there, and we will spend money and go after it because it's there. Am I right? We don't say to medical science, "When are you going to..." We don't do that. One more time. When you have American green card, Nigerian visa is practically useless. Nigerian visa of righteousness, that what we do and how we behave before God and come to church and get title. That's why, you notice why, as a pastor, I want to reduce all these things about officers in church, about deaconess and things. You know why? It gives you a false pedigree before God. Like one woman said to my wife, they were together in one place. He said, "When am I going to come to a church? I'm not going to come because enjoy in church." It's not about OE. It's not about putting us in classes. No, no, no. We are class of all ages. We are in the class of God. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Praise God. This righteousness puts you in the class of God. Because when you believe, you become like God. Jesus said, "All things are possible to God." Then he said, "All things are possible to him that believes." Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let me shock you. When Jesus was here, please listen. Your master, your Lord and Savior. When he was here, he never asked people what they do. He asked them to believe. Am I right? His greatest fight with people is not about, wash or temple, clean. No. He said, "How long, you faithless and unbelieving?" He wanted them to leave that righteousness than just thinking that because they washed their hand. You see, that synagogue ruler had collected tithe from that woman that was bent over, sent by her children. She had come to clean the synagogue. What's her reward? God's going to reward her in heaven, but she has right in the present life. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Don't confuse reward and rights. Remember the prodigal son's brother? He confused reward and rights. He went to work every day and come back. The brother took everything, blew it, and came back. And he got mad. You know why he got mad? He said, "Your son." Not even, he said, "My brother. Your son took all that and then blew it up. And me, I go to work every day and I come back. You never killed a goat for me one day." You know the father's answer? Who can tell me? Huh? "Oh, thank you, sir. All things are yours." You see, we cannot have our head. All things are ours until we face something. For Christ is the end. So how do we now do this? Let's go to the next verse. Look at next verse. Next verse. "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. So if I serve God more in church, I'm expecting God to reward me. And he will reward me. Fine. But when it comes to claiming the right, I must do something more than that." Look at next verse. What do you say next? "But the righteousness which of faith, righteousness of faith, righteousness of faith speaks in this way. How does he speak? How do you speak now? Do not say in your heart, who will bring Christ down to solve this problem? Who will ascend to heaven to bring Christ down? Oh, Lua. Baulema say, Baulema yoju, Lua. Baulema na wabara. That's all old righteousness. Now somebody will say, Pastor, I know you're just preaching. You're just preaching. You know, you are not facing the reality of life. That's foolishness on its own. I'm not just preaching. It's like you go to a hospital and they say, take this and take this. You say, doctor, you don't know how it's paining me. You don't know reality. He doesn't have to be sick. He knows the answer. Praise God, somebody. So he said, who don't say? What will you say? Look at next verse. Or who will descend into the abyss to bring Christ up? Next verse. What does he say? Next verse. The word is what? The message is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Pastor Alex said, God said to him, see, your answer is in your heart and in your mouth. Every day, you'll cry. You'll cry sometimes to sleep. You'll weep. God, what have I done? God, what have I done? What am I not doing right? God, what have I done? God said, look, Alex, you're wasting your time. As they gave you a cocktail of antibiotics, take the cocktail. And God gave me several scriptures. Took his Bible. All of them, by stripes you are healed. Put it in your heart. Believe it. Say it with your mouth. The answer is, the word is near you. The message is near you. That's what doctors do. They tell you, take it, swallow it. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? You don't even know what you are swallowing. If they spell it out in pharmacology, Brother Odele will tell you, all the numbers, they are crazy. Am I right? Don't worry about it. Just swallow it. It's your mouth. The word is near you, in your mouth, and where? In your heart. Let your heart grab that promise. Let your mouth say it. That is the word of complaint. The word of struggles. See, it goes up and down talking about it. Talking about it. That's not righteousness. Pastor, what do you mean? I'm going to shock you with this. All of you, that I know sometimes some of you get some promotion. Do you get some promotion? And prof, how do you get promotion? They write you a letter from management. You are promoted. When they give that letter, what do? You're promoted. Am I right? Nothing has changed. The car has not arrived. The office has not arrived. But that letter, you take it. Tell everybody, I'm promoted. I'm promoted. I'm the manager now. Am I right? You start saying that. You start saying that. And start expecting to happen. Am I right? Same way. Faith works the same way. You got a paper. God said you are. Then you take it and say it and look forward to it and start claiming the chair. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. It's not what you do somewhere else. You are promoted. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, do you think that will work? That letter, will it work? Promotion letter, will it work? I've seen promotion letter blocked for 3 years. Am I right? Something like 5 months. But you keep on claiming it. What promote me, sir? And the person who is on that chair won't vacate. You know what I'm talking about? And some of these workplaces, they just be looking like as if they're all Dundee United. No empty. You say, come out. Sit down there. But thank God your father never will fight for you. But if you don't claim that right, he won't fight for you. Praise God, somebody. Is that all right? Am I making some sense this morning? Oh, I'm screaming. Because I'm facing things myself too. And it's so easy to just descend low and act like everybody else. Look at next verse. This is the key. Now, how did you get born again? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and do what? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Wow. How did I get saved? For 3 days. I cry out to God. And I show God that I'm really serious. No. I have seen in altar call, you see somebody who looks unserious, he confesses Christ. 5 years down the line, he becomes a serious Christian. And somebody else will cry like a baby. I'm saved. And 3 months later, he's drinking beer again. It's what he believes and what he holds fast to You know, this verse said, what you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe that God raised him from the dead, then I submit to you that many people are not born again. They don't really believe anything. They're not really believing that God raised him from the dead. They don't confess with their mouth. They don't confess with their mouth. The Lord Jesus. So, are you saved? Then there should be on your mouth the confession of Jesus is Lord over that matter. Praise God, somebody. Jesus is Lord. Say that with me. Jesus is Lord. Can you close your eyes, lift up your two hands, and say, Jesus is Lord over my spirit, over my soul, over my body, over my home, my family, and my future. Thank you, Jesus. You are Lord indeed. Over my business, you are Lord indeed. Over my thoughts, you are Lord indeed. Let's appreciate Jesus for a few minutes. Let's use our mouth to confess. If you confess me before men, I confess before my Father in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are my healer. You are my savior. You are my shepherd. Oh, glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's clap our hands for Jesus one more time. All right. Next verse. It says this. For with the heart, what does one do? One does what? Believe. Unto what? Now, in the former dispensation, behave yourself and call yourself righteous. But in the new, you believe and you become righteous. So, let me now reinterpret it. Righteousness exalts a nation. Believing in Jesus exalt a nation, not their behavior. Wow. Do you get it? Because when you believe in Jesus as Lord, it will control your life. It's not the other way around. You don't control your life and then it becomes your Lord. You believe in the Lord, then it controls your life. You know why Christians are messing up in the offices? They don't confess Christ as Lord. If they confess him as Lord, then they are not the Lord. Praise God. Am I making some sense? So, with the mouth, look at that word again now. See, I'm going somewhere. See, it's your heart that you claim righteousness. But it's with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, healing, deliverance, progress, prosperity. So, your mouth must be confessing. What is confessing? To say it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Not looking at circumstances. How many of us remember, when we got born again, you didn't feel born again. You didn't feel saved. But you came out several times for altar call. How many of you have been there? But you know, you kept coming, and they call you new convert. You wonder whether you're a new convert or not. And then you go to the classes. You start doing whatever you think is to be done. And then before you knew it, you're now a Christian. Huh? And you're now a Christian. But you start saying it with your mouth. I'm a Christian. Sometimes you dodge your parents. Sometimes you dodge something. If you are already godly parents, they are happy with you. Like Brother Peter, hello. Somebody wants you to go and buy me beer. You steal your brother, go and buy it because you don't want to do that. You start living it. Praise God, somebody. With about confession. So you start saying it. You start saying it. You start saying the promises of God. So Pastor Alex gathered the verses. After 5 days of crying and wailing, he stopped. He took the verses. He said, I'm going to join with the hospital. They want me to be well. I'm going to take my mouth, start saying something. In that book. So he took out the scriptures of the Bible. He started saying it. Morning, afternoon, evening. Believing it. Taking it into his heart. And say, God, that's it. Not looking at his leg. He said before, he would look at his leg and say, Oluwa, Baba. Then say, leg, you are healing. Staff, you are dying. Mrs. A, you are going. Huh?
Pastor, how long?
Ask doctor, how long? You see, 3 times daily for 21 days. Am I right? Some drugs, you take all your whole lifetime. Am I right? Some people, they take some drugs for some lifetime. But you well, doctor say, go back. No. Like my daddy. My daddy has a way of recommending drugs. My daddy will use drugs. So one day, came to our house. Nelly killed my mother-in-law. Himself is a doctor. So my mother-in-law says, something's paining her. My father said, take this drug. My mother-in-law has normal blood pressure. My father was giving her antihypertensive. Well, I read the news. Pastor's father-in-law killed his mother-in-law. The pastor's father killed mother-in-law in his house. Praise the Lord. So just do that. Don't mind people, what they say around you. Don't mind what's going on. Just put a confession in your mouth. Just keep saying that. Pastor, are you sure it will work? Look at next verse, verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Oh, glory to God. I just feel like stopping there and just worship God. I don't know about you. I just feel like worshiping God there. He said, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. I just want to think, Lord, I will not be put to shame. Oh, glory. I will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Whoever believes. Oh, I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never... I just want to worship him. Yes, Lord. I have a God who never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Forevermore. Amen. Amen. Somebody sing with me.
Jesus never fails.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Jesus never fails.
Amen.
Jesus never fails.
Jesus never fails.
Jesus never fails.
One more time.
I am a God who never fails. I am a God who never fails.
I am a God
who never fails.
Who never fails.
Yes, he never.
Who never fails.
Amen.
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 Jesus never fails.
Jesus never fails.
Jesus never fails.
Amen.
Amen. My Jesus.
Amen. One more time.
Jesus never fails.
Amen. One more time.
Jesus never fails.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
My Jesus never fails.
Amen.
My Jesus
never fails.
Jesus never fails.
Jesus never
fails. Yes, he never
fails. Jesus never fails.
Forever.
Clap your hands for the Lord Jesus. I'm so happy for Jesus this morning. Honestly, if this is fail, this thing won't work, I'll be the first one not to be here. I'll be somewhere drinking beer on Sunday morning. I'll not be. I don't like religion. Dump this stuff. You know why did God pick Abraham? Do you know that God used Abraham as a test kid for 25 years? He had to say it. And keep saying it. And nothing was happening. His wife offered alternative. His small boy, Lot, left him. And one day, it was delivered. He was a sample believer. Praise God. Praise God. So he said it, believed it, said it, believed it. And we are the daughters and sons of Abraham. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Let's look at this verse. Oh, but this verse, I put my finger on it. Something like that. For there is no distinction between who? Between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is what? Is rich. Oh, glory to God. To all who call, who confess, who declare his name attached to their issues. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when I read this verse, I remember when Jairus came to Jesus. The crowd was so amazing. Thousands thronging him. And Jairus came and said, my daughter, not even here, at home. It's at the point of death. Come. And Jesus dropped everything he was doing with these big guys and redirected his steps to the house of a girl, 12-year-old, who had no energy to come to the meeting. What a master. What a Lord. And as he was going, it got to a point, a woman came behind that should not be mixing with the crowd. Unclean, blood purging out of her. Touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus stopped the crowd and says, "Who touched me?" Peter said, "Crowds are thronging you." He said, "I love what Luke said. You feel like crying." He said, "Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Somebody." I recognized part of the mass. You know, in that your corner here, when you open your mouth, you are somebody to him. You're somebody to him. Somebody. He stopped. See, put a clothes. Just imagine somebody anemic. Somebody anemic like that. Somebody just a woman of all that time, women you don't count. Just stopped and listened to her story. By the way, her sickness was 12 years. The girl was 12 years old. When her sickness began, that's when she was born. Jesus finished with her story and called her daughter. "Your faith made you whole. Your faith made you whole. Your faith made you go." And what they just came and said, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Jairus, your daughter is." He said, "Jairus, don't worry. I have all the time in the world. I created time myself. It's under my hold." So when you talk about faith, forget time. He knows what to do. Praise God. Praise God. Moses followed the law. He didn't get to the promised land. He came to meet Christ there later with Elijah. Am I right? They were on the Mount of Transfiguration together. Forget about time. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there's something about medicine. Sorry, I talk about doctors because I was trained as a doctor. You know what they do to you? They give you drugs and check you up. Sometimes they will say, "Don't go home. Lie on the bed." They come check you. As they are giving the drugs, they are checking you. As you are taking promise of God, confessing with your mouth, Jesus is checking you every day. He's looking at your life. He's the most wonderful doctor of all your circumstances and your situations. Come on. And it's simple. He said, "He who began a good work." Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, shift your faith on that. Things are going to happen. Rain will fall. Storms will blow. But just keep that. That's what we call righteousness by faith. But let me warn you. Let me warn you. Let me warn you. As you go through this journey, you need filling stations. Because you don't have fuel all the time. So you need to get in there and get filled up. This is a filling station this morning. Let's get filled up again. When you pick up your Bible, it's a filling station. Praise God, somebody. Oh, in those days before all these tablets will come, I'll have this light I will buy. Something happening in my life, I'll open my Bible in the middle of the night and find the verse. Now, that no longer, I just pick my phone, put on the phone, and scroll for the verses and say, "Lord, you said it." Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. Are you blessed today? Let's give glory to God that we are his people, we are seed of Abraham, and we can believe him because it's rightful. He said, "Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham?" Ought not this woman. Wherever you are, God's promises by faith always work for you. Thank you, Father. Let's just open our mouth and thank him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's thank him. We're going to give our pastor's offering first. Then the choir will sing. Then we'll give our church tithe and offering. Praise God. God is good. God is good. Let's give our pastor's offering. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Choir, let's come sing. October 1 is joint service. We are going to be here 9 o'clock. We are going to eat. My wife was telling me that the food prices have gone up. I said, we can still eat. We're going to eat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said something. Was it? Can you call it? Daddy Freeze. Daddy said they ate their tithe. We're going to eat our tithe. We're going to eat our. We're going to church people. We're not taking offering for their food. Take out of our tithe and offering and eat. So we fulfill whatever I say in Old Testament, right? So we're going to eat. And then October 2 will be women's program. My wife will come announce that more. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we ready to sing? Let's give our pastor's offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We, according to your word, that we should minister to those who teach us all good things, we share with our pastors this morning. And we ask that your promises you have spoken over it be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give.
Hallelujah. We will sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We will sing hallelujah. Everybody raise your voice and sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every knee will bow down.
Every tongue.
Every sickness bow, every tongue confess, every shame will bow, every tongue confess. Death and hell will bow, and every tongue confess. Sing with me, every
knee will bow.
Every knee must bow.
Every knee will bow. Every
tongue will say and say Alleluia.
That's hallelujah. Next week we're going to tidy up this with style today. There's this verse talking about being established in righteousness. You know, one thing is to hear righteousness. Isaiah 54. We'll do that next week. God helping us. I think from verse 14, it says, in righteousness you'll be established. You shall be far from oppression. Because, you see, people read these verses, then they read the next verse that, what's that verse now? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Verse 17. But, you know, give us verse 17. They jump to this verse, not, they want to hold the trunk without going to the, and it's like trying to drive a car from outside, not having the inside of the car. So, if you are not established in righteousness, weapons will prosper against you. So, God willing, we are going to see how to be established in righteousness, so we can know where we belong. Praise God, somebody. And he says, when that happens, we shall all be taught by the Lord, and great shall be our peace. Amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. We're going to give our offerings now, and then we round up and get out of here. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, I'm already happy this morning that I'm the seed of Abraham, and that I have right, because I believe Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray about our offering and our fight. Just open your mouth to yourself and speak. Hallelujah. I don't know, Prof, if you have anything to say, one or two words. Let's just pray first. Let's say something. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We give you glory. We expect your promises to always work because you are a faithful God. One more time, we reiterate the fact that you are our shepherd. Good shepherd at that. So we don't want for any good thing. We bless your name as you give our tithe and our offering, expecting you to fulfill your word. You are rich unto all who call upon you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Say something? Quiet. Hallelujah. I just feel like I want to say something about that. Let's give our offering while we tidy up the service. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Please quickly give us Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 35. We're giving our offering now, and we want to check this word before we leave. We've heard so much about believing and confessing it. I want to add something that as we do this, please let's hold on. Sometimes it comes quickly. Sometimes it takes time, but then don't let's be deceived by what we see. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Let's keep on reading. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So I'm asking us this morning, as we step out there, let's persevere. We have done the will of God this morning. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall be poured into your bosom. And the situation, if it changes so soon, if the situation seems to persist, let's also persevere. verse 37. The next verse. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. 38. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. We're righteous. We have had it this morning. And that righteousness will see us through, even as we hold forth, as we hold on, and as we persevere. And finally, in verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Hallelujah. Let's keep believing. Let's keep persevering. Let's keep confessing. And in no time, he who is coming will come. Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. He that will come will come. Can I encourage us this morning? Let's listen to this message again and again and again. It's so basic and so fundamental to our lives. And we need it more than ever before. But we don't really get some things just listening to a message once. You thought you have heard. We have not heard. We need to listen. It's on MixLR. You don't need to buy any CD. Just play it. Just leave it around you. And let it sink in. Let it become part and parcel of you. That's when we see results. Just listening and, oh, I heard it. No, we need to hear it again. Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Just hear it and just leave it on. You may even leave it on and sleep on it. Something is going into your spirit. And just listen again and again and again and get established. When you are established, it's done. Hallelujah. Praise God. So please, on MixLR or any other means, just listen. Play it again and again and again and again. Amen. Amen. October 1st, Senior Pastor mentioned, we have just one service that will start by 9 a.m. It's a combined service, and it's going to be like a love feast. We'll come together. There will be food, and there will be food. Praise God. Then on the 2nd, we have an outreach. And I sent out a message yesterday. This is a time for us to refresh ourselves and also to reach out. There are so many people out there who would be glad to know a bit of what we know. So we are going to invite people who are not established in their churches, who are not saved. And I'm imploring each and every one of us, let's begin to think of one person. All of us, let's just invite one person. That's all. And we trust God to meet them at the point of needs. There will be all kinds of things that will happen that day. And of course, in time past, we get the commissioners around because we preach to them. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. They get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's a serious business for all of us together on the 2nd. So begin to look at someone that you can invite as a lady. It's a point of outreach for us to our community, to our city. We have a letter of appreciation from Uncle and Auntie Oshokoya. They're saying thank you for your prayers, for your gifts, for your presence at the burial ceremony of Auntie's father, Pastor Anyokoya. It was, it happened the upper week. And a lot of people turn out from this service, especially, to honor. And I heard somebody saying that, somebody that comes for second service, they are, you are not a first service member. But thank you so much for the support given to them. They're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Auntie, Uncle Shemo, try. Have I delivered your message? Thank you, sir. Praise God. All right, sir. Tuesday.
Okay.
And Friday. Okay.
Let me try the old school. Thank you for Miss Alara Cole. But if you are old school, one of the best things to do is to take all these verses we just said in this thing and go through it. Take those verses, read them yourself, and all this Romans 10, I gave those places I quoted. One of my friends in church, Nehemiah, he comes right down all the verses. So those verses, just go through them on your own, you know, if you don't really want to if you're not the kind of old school, you know. So just go through with me. Think over it. Hallelujah. That's one of the best ways I receive myself. Praise God. These verses can become life-changing. All right. Let's go home. Okay. Yes. We are doing something. The last part of the two things actually. First one is we're having 1 hour praise all through the month, started last Friday. We are doing that based upon Psalm 67, verse 5 and verse 6. Can you give us on the screen? We are doing just pure praise, nothing, 1 hour. Let the people praise you, God. Let all the people praise you. Next verse. Then the hearts shall yield and increase. We are hearing too much of negatives in our world. You just want to praise God. Come over here. We started last Friday, all through the month, just 1 hour, 6 to 7. If you can't join on the ground, join us online and let's praise God together. That's 1 second. Oh, can I get my phone? Thank you. We're going to have a special business seminar organized by Deacon Stephen on the 38th of September. That's the last day of this month. It's a Saturday. And the first day of next month is a Sunday, October 1. But Peter, I know you remind me. It's on my notes, I just forgot. Yes, about September 17. So, the person's name is Terrence Banks Ozakpo. I'm correct, you know. I'm one of these special business seminar speakers. So he's going to come talk about different things, about business. So he's going to be here in church by 9 a.m., 10 a.m., thereabouts, and organized by Deacon Stephen. And the person, I think he lives in Abuja or Lagos. The other live in Abuja or Lagos, you know. So he'll be coming for this seminar. They are throwing it for the whole church to attend. Hallelujah. So we'll give you more details as we go on. September 17, that's next Sunday, by the evening, is men's meeting. Ladies, help us tell your husband to come. Is that all right? My wife asked me, say, would that be food? I said, men don't eat in church. No, they're going to have a pepper soup again, but not now. All right, okay, great. I think we should start doing some eating. Abi, Rapita. I think so. We'll think about that before the year ends. So just have some things thrown around. Don't do that. Well, give it a thought. As long as women will pay for it. All right. Praise God. Let's go home. Hallelujah. Let's do something. I want you to pray for somebody beside you. We're living in a strange time. Jesus said, Simon. Satan has desired to sift you, but I pray that your faith will not fail. Can you help me pray for somebody beside you there? Just pray that their faith will prevail in this season. Their faith in God. Just get somebody beside you, one or two persons. Just pray for them. Their faith will rise up to the situation. Their confidence in God. Their faith is, the Bible says, our faith is our victory to overcome the world. And let's just say, our faith will become strong, better in Jesus. Faith in the Father. Faith in His promises. Let's just pray that this week we will become better. Let's ask God to help them strengthen their faith, strengthen their grip on God this week. Pray that they will have time to attend to their spiritual life this week in the name of Jesus. They will have time to attend to the things that are important in their lives this week. Let's pray that they will not be sidetracked and overtaken by different life issues that won't let them concentrate. Pray for progress for them in the name of Jesus, that they will thrive and move forward in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father Lord. Thank you. On purpose, let's resist the evil forces that want to complicate our life and complicate our week in the name of Jesus. That we say, Satan, we resist you. We give you no place to complicate our week. We're going to do well. We're going to move ahead in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody open your eyes. You know, I just, before we go, keep on hoping that person, hold that to that person. Don't stop yet. I saw one verse in the Bible. Paul said, we plan to come to see you, but Satan resisted us. How many of you have seen that verse before in the Bible? You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, something just happened in your life, you can just complicate all your stuff that you want to do that day or that week. So let's say, Satan, we resist you from stopping us. We stop you. We stop you, that this week we will not have inroad to make things go hurry in our lives in the name of Jesus. We will attend to what we'll attend to. We will not be chasing things, police station, some problem somewhere that will distract us. In the name of Jesus, we will really focus this week in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your banner over our children, over our family, your edge surrounding us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your edge over our health, over our finances, over our lives. Things working smoothly. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Just bless that person as we round up. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. The Lord multiply you. The Lord lift you up. The Lord make his good face to shine upon you. Grant you peace on all your borders. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's share the grace together. The grace. You can get up on your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Amen. Let me tell you, my greatest moment is when we are praying together like this and we are closing the service. You know, like somebody said, you see, the greatest power of Christians is when they are spreading out. You see, salt in the bottle is great, but when it's spread in the soup. So we are going back to the city, and the Lord will give us victory and give us peace in Jesus' name. Anybody, your first time in the service, we have some package for you. You can get the bag. We have some books and some credits for your phone. Praise God. In the package. All right. Anybody? It's the first time. Thank you. We don't. All right. Anybody? That's Pastor Kingsley. I'm getting confused. It's from US. Yeah. What are you doing in town? I'm going to feel Ben Oludimu. I'm going to feel Baba. That's the pastor's son. Praise God. You're welcome, my pastor. I didn't know you're the one. Praise God. All right. Can we go home? Tell us about surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Amen. Have a wonderful week ahead of you. And then Pastor David, second service. Let's